الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. We start by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the heavens and the earth, the one who is the most forgiving, the most merciful. He who gathered us here first to worship him in his home, then to follow up with seeking knowledge, only a blessing that he bestows upon whom he wills. And he's the only one we seek, with no partner, no helper, the one who revealed the Qur'an in these blessed 10 nights. And we send salutations upon his beloved messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who was sent as a mercy to mankind, to take us from darkness to light, and who has revealed the Qur'an in these last 10 nights, and whom we follow as a guide for all of mankind. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his last and final messenger and servant. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So following up from yesterday, we began the story of Ismail alayhi salam and his birth and his upbringing and the sacrifices of his parents as he was being raised in Mecca amongst the tribe of Jurhum, and how the tawakkul of his parents manifested in multiple ways. First and foremost, from a barren lady who gave a gift to her husband, who was able to then give birth to a righteous son. And then after 80 years, he's been given this beautiful child. And then he's instructed to take this child, alayhi salam, into a barren desert where there's no food, no drink, and nothing or a source of sustenance from the looks of it from the outside. However, we know this was an instruction from Allah Azawajal to Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, he went back to Palestine, and the mother Hajar understood that if this is from Allah, that he knew he would never let them down. So inshallah we'll continue now with Ismail alayhi salam as an adult and what happened in his life moving forward. So Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah Azawajal says in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 127, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلُ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. I remember when Abraham raised the foundations of the house with Ismail, both praying, Our Lord, accept this from us. You are indeed the all-hearing, the all-knowing. رَبَّنَا وَجَعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكَ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكَ وَأَرِنَا مَنَاسِكَنَا وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Our Lord, make us both fully submit to you, and from our descendants a nation that will submit to you. Show us our rituals and turn to us in grace. You are truly the acceptor of repentance, most merciful. رَبَّنَا وَبَعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Our Lord, raise from amongst them a messenger who will recite to them your revelations. Teach them the book and wisdom and purify them. Indeed, you alone are the Almighty, all wise. وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ أَمْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِيهَ نَفْسَهُ وَلَقَدْ إِسْتَفَيْنَاهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَإِنَّهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ لَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. And who would reject the faith of Ibrahim except a fool? We certainly chose him in this life and in the hereafter. He will surely be amongst the righteous. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ وَأَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. When his Lord ordered him, submit to my will, he responded, I submit to the Lord of the worlds. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. SubhanAllah, I could stop there and that's it. That could be the end of the class. Because SubhanAllah, the Quran is so concise with what it gives you, what a gift, that you understand the story immediately once the verses are recited. Obviously, that would mean today's class is over and we won't learn much from it. So inshallah, let's see what lessons we can draw here. So in the long narration I mentioned yesterday from the hadith in Bukhari, it was hadith number 3364. And the hadith went beyond just the childhood of Ismail alayhi salam. It discussed when the Kaaba was resurrected, as in these verses, and what happened after that. So we stopped at how Ibrahim alayhi salam was raised amongst the tribe of Jurhum. And the rest of that narration is what we're going to continue with today. So the narration yesterday ended with Ismail alayhi salam. His mother has passed away. He's married from amongst the tribe of Jurhum. And Ibrahim alayhi salam would go back and forth between Palestine and Mecca to visit his son. So starting from there, Ibrahim alayhi salam stayed away from them from a period of time for as long as Allah willed. And he called on his son afterwards. He saw Ismail alayhi salam under a tree near the Zamzam well. He was sharpening his arrows. And when he saw Ibrahim alayhi salam, he rose up to welcome him. And he greeted him just as a father and son would greet each other. And Ibrahim alayhi salam said to him, "O Ismail, Allah has given me an order." And Ismail, without hesitation, said, "Do what your Lord has ordered you to do." And Ibrahim alayhi salam asks him, "Will you help me?" And Ismail alayhi salam said, "Yes, I will help you." And he mentioned that Ibrahim alayhi salam mentioned that Allah has ordered me to build a house here. So they pointed to a hillock, just it's a small hill essentially, and the higher area surrounded it. The Prophet ﷺ said, what they did then is when, from that hillock, they raised the foundations of the Kaaba. So that place already was known as the Sacred Valley. It was already planned that the house of Allah would be built and resurrected there. So Ismail alayhi salam bought the stones, and Ibrahim alayhi salam started building. And when the walls became high, Ismail alayhi salam bought this one stone and put it for Ibrahim alayhi salam, who stood over it and carried on building. And while Ismail alayhi salam was handing him the stones, and both of them were saying, as we mentioned, "Our Lord, accept this from us, you are the hearing, all knowing." And the Prophet ﷺ added that both of them went on building and going around the Kaaba saying, "Oh, our Lord, accept this from us, verily you are the all hearing, the all knowing." Just as the verse above mentions that they said, رَبَّنَا وَجَعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكَ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِنَا. Just bear رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Afwan. So our Lord, accept this from us, you are indeed all hearing, all knowing. So they continue with dhikr as they were doing this. And there's three things. I always try to draw three lessons, because subhanAllah, we could sit here all night if we wanted to go beyond that. The first thing I want to point out is the reaction of Ismail alayhi salam as a son. So I think it was on the third day or fourth day, we did a talk on Bir al-Walidain, displaying excellence and kindness to our parents, obeying them in what they command, not causing them any conflict, not getting angry with them when they're angry with you. So he completely understood, just like his parents, if Allah has instructed you to do it, then do it. And subhanAllah, you then see the excellence of the father. Now how often, when you want your son to do something, it's usually a command and I expect it. There's not even a choice in between the matter. But subhanAllah, Ibrahim alayhi salam, being the excellent example that he is, he asks his son here, "Will you help me?" Even realistically, he could have commanded his son. He's got every right to do so. And yesterday in the hadith earlier on, it mentions that it had already been decreed that both father and son would build the house, as we mentioned yesterday. But subhanAllah, even then, of Ibrahim alayhi salam's excellence, just to demonstrate that he cares about his son and he values his opinion, he asks him. And the son, again, he never disappoints him. And again, so many lessons to draw, so little time to do it. But you see the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the child, as the parents were righteous. And the child is righteous as a result of the parents' righteousness. So you look at Surah Al-Kahf, it mentions about the two orphans. And their fathers passed away. But Khidr and Musa alayhi salam are still instructed to build the house, resurrect the wall there, so they can later acquire wealth that their father left for them. Why? Is kana abuhum asaliha? Is that correct, Hafsa? So the father was righteous, so the child is looked after. Here, alhamdulillah, you have a righteous father and a righteous child. The obedience to Allah is that, subhanAllah, this is the excellence of their obedience, is that there's no lag time. There's no time to think. They immediately, it's qala lahu rabbuhu aslim, told him to submit, qala aslam, I'm done, I'm in. There's no break in between. Immediate reaction of submission to Allah azza wa jalla. Because you have to remember, what they're being asked to do here is not easy. Alhamdulillah, we go to Makkah, we see the Kaaba, we say, wow, what a beautiful building. Alhamdulillah, now we have tools to build that building. Back then, there are no cement, no bricks, and they're literally having to piece together stones like a jigsaw to stay fitted together. And they build the structure, and not a single point in the Quran, I challenge anyone to look for it. Go try and find a complaint from Ibrahim alayhi salam once in his life. You won't. Because as it mentioned in Surah Ibrahim, وَلَا إِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, that if you are grateful, then I will increase you. And all they do throughout this is make dua. There's no chit-chat between father and son. They're constantly reminding themselves, our Lord accept us. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ, is that you can hear a Samir and you are the all-knowing. You know everything as well, Ya Rabb. You know what's in our heart when we do this. And they do this continuously. Imagine there's four sides to the Kaaba. All four sides as they're building, that's all the dhikr that's coming out of their mouth, praising and being grateful to Allah. Obviously, He gave them the strength to do this. The second point, again, going back just to the bir al-walidain, to the excellence towards his parents, by Ismail alayhi salam. This is a beautiful dynamic you see between Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam. And we will follow up with this tomorrow, inshallah, when we discuss when the sacrifice was appointed. But the loving engagement between father and son, he gets up to greet his dad. I think we miss these minor details. He gets up to greet his father. And he embraces his father, as it says, just as a son and a father would embrace one another. And you just think that the amount of time they have to spend, because Ibrahim alayhi salam here is closing in on his hundreds. He's old. And he knew he wasn't getting, Ismail alayhi salam, his birth became a test. And he never got to really truly enjoy that time as of Ismail alayhi salam as a child, because he was away from him due to the instruction of his Lord. But look, subhanAllah, he visits his son, he greets him and he embraces him. And then they engage in this act of worship together. This building of the Kaaba is not just he's building Allah's house, this is worship. And subhanAllah, as Allah accepted, subhanAllah. And we discussed over the last few days that Ibrahim alayhi salam didn't have this experience with his father. In fact, his father threatened to A, kill him himself. B, he actually did try to kill him by throwing him in the fire. And then after all that, he told him to leave him alone and he never seen him again. This is a trauma response. Unfortunately, especially in the subcontinent, you see this toxic relationship between sons and fathers. Whether the father was abused prior, I mean, Allah forgive the past generation, but mistakes were made. But this generational trauma usually carries over. You notice that within the child, they almost repeat the same mistakes their fathers did. If anybody had the excuse to be a terrible father, it's Ibrahim alayhi salam. If you look at the trauma that man went through, there's multiple traumas you can point out. That abuse from his people, abuse from his father, and then abuse from the leadership of his area. And he could have justified it and said, I'm like this because they were like this to me, but he didn't. He turned what was a traumatic experience into something beautiful, subhanAllah, which tells us that we can do the same. Your past does not define your future. Your parents' parental techniques does not define how you raise your children. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, again, excellence. And he became the best father with the utmost excellence in character and manners. And then it resulted in a noble, righteous child. One that Allah made a messenger and a prophet as a result. And we found yesterday, alhamdulillah, when we were discussing just the early life of Ismail alayhi salam, that Allah, when describing him in Surah Maryam, he doesn't just say, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِسْمَعِيلِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صَادِقَ الْوَعْدِ وَكَانَ رَسُولَ النَّبِيَّ. So mentioned in the book, O Prophet, the story of Ismail, he was truly a man of his word and a messenger and a prophet. But the second verse, I'm going to go all the way back to that now, that we didn't get to touch on yesterday. وَكَانَ يَأْمُرُ أَهْلَهُ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ وَكَانَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ مَرْضِيًا. He used to urge his people to pray and give alms tax, and his Lord was well pleased with him. The word أَهْلَهُ does not just mean people. And for those who can speak Arabic a little bit better than I can, ahlahu would also refer to family as well. So he used to command his family in salah and to give zakat as well. He made worship a collective thing because this is what he witnessed his father doing. Unfortunately, I'm not yet a parent. I mean, Allah will grant everyone righteous offspring and righteous spouses. But for those who are parents, maybe they could tell me that your children will copy exactly what you do. They witness you doing something, likelihood is probably an 80% chance they're going to replicate that behavior. Ibrahim alayhi salam represented excellence in his manners, his character, and his actions. He's engaging in an act of worship with his son. And then we know from the Quran that Ismail alayhi salam used to call his family to pray salah and to do the zakat with him as well. So that good deed passes on. And subhanAllah, that they would constantly pray for their family. It carries on moving forward when he mentions, just bear with me, in verse 120, so the one after. He says, رَبَّنَا وَجَعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكَ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَاتًا لَكَ وَأَرِنَا مَنَاسِكَنَا وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا. Our Lord, make us both fully submit to you. So they make a dua for one another, father and son, subhanAllah. And then, وَذُرِّيَّتِنَا, so our descendants as well, a nation that will submit to you. And as we know, subhanAllah, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Abul Anbiya, became the father of nations. Many Israel is from him, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is from him. So that importance of when you guys are engaging, and we are engaging with our parents, The relationship goes both ways, father, son, son and father, mother and daughter, daughter and mother, and the whole family collective. That it's not just engaging in the acts of worship together. It's about making dua for one another and making dua for those who come after you. And praying that Islam stays in our bloodline. May Allah make us from amongst them. And then the third and final thing is the dua he made for the noble messenger who comes after him, alayhi salam. He says, رَبَّنَا وَبَعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Our Lord, raise from amongst them a messenger who will recite to them your revelations, teach them the book and wisdom, and purify them. Indeed, you alone are mighty and all-wise. This is the beginning of the story of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this world. That messenger that he's praying for, we know from listening to reading other riwayat, the answer to that dua was our beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A messenger that would teach the book, that will give the hikmah behind the book. So not just teach you the revelation, he'll teach you what it means as well. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ I will purify them. He was sent as وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. He was sent as a mercy to mankind. His mercy manifests to this day, subhanAllah. We prayed because he prayed. Today we stood for at night time to pray. It's because he did it. We fast Ramadan because it's a command in the Quran which was sent down to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then we know later on he's known as لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. That this messenger who came after Ibrahim alayhi salam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the grandson of Ismail alayhi salam, was the most excellent example in himself. And it all started with the dua from a righteous grandfather. So what that tells you is this, again, reiterates the same points that I've been making over the last couple of days, is that making dua for your offspring to be righteous. And subhanAllah, the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam manifested into Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and now to this day, when you finish your salah, and you get to your tashahud, you said the same way Allah made dua for the manifestation of this ummah, we send salawat upon Ibrahim alayhi salam and his family. Allahumma salli ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. So Allah Azza wa Jalla already knew Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going to be sent. But there's just, you see that effort on the side of Ibrahim alayhi salam where he made the dua for righteous offspring. So subhanAllah, you see here that there's so many dynamics to cover. We could just sit here all night and do that. And don't worry, I'm not going to do that. Everybody even stood up for Tarawih. Well, alhamdulillah, it's just taking these small lessons away, just acknowledging that, look, subhanAllah, in Ibrahim alayhi salam, that excellent example, that righteousness towards our parents, and parents' righteousness towards your children, to be that example for them, teaching them what righteousness truly is, so that they can be raised to be amongst that same path. Teaching them and making dua for them, making dua for one another, and the importance of that, and how Allah Azza wa Jalla will answer it in a manner only pleasing to Him. And look, Ibrahim alayhi salam did not live to see Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this world. Right? Centuries went by. Centuries went by before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent. They say between him and Isa alayhi salam was 500 years, so imagine. But his dua was answered, and from him, you got the greatest man who ever lived. You got an ummah now, mashallah, of 2 billion people. All from the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And subhanAllah, tomorrow we're going to move on to, again, Ibrahim alayhi salam and his engagement with his son in regards to being commanded to sacrifice him. And subhanAllah, again, you're going to see the excellence of a son and the excellence of a father and the reward that came with that. So I encourage anyone who's here, inshallah, come and sit with us, listen. We're almost there. And bring your children. Alhamdulillah, we can sit together. So I'm going to conclude there today. Alhamdulillah, thank you very much, everyone who sat and listened. May Allah allow us to practice and reflect upon what was discussed today, to follow these beautiful examples of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, and Ismail alayhi salam, and all the Anbiya alayhi wa sallam, in regards to our worship and our etiquette amongst our family and with Allah Azza wa Jalla. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.